Well, this morning, I want to take a look at a well-known miracle of the Bible. You might know it as the feeding of 5,000. It's really 5,000 men plus women and children. It's the only miracle that appears in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Many of the miracles show up in two or three of the Gospels, but this one shows up in all four of the Gospels. So I think it has something to teach us. So I want to look into this story of this miracle of feeding 5,000 men plus women and children and see what is there that we could learn about having our own lives getting ready to receive a miracle, because that's what daring faith is all about. So we're going to pick up our story in Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 34. We're going to work our way through this story a bit today. So would you look at it with me? It says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered, you give them something to eat. They said to him, that would take more than a half year's wages. Are we going to spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat? So a couple of things I notice here as we begin to unpack the story, and it's really our first truth about getting ready for a miracle. It's this: admit you have an unsolvable problem. I mean, that should go without saying, doesn't it? Doesn't that just make common sense? I mean, if you don't have an unsolvable problem, you're not in the need of a miracle. If you don't have an unsolvable problem, why do you need God to intervene? So the first thing in receiving and getting ready for miracles is to understand that we have an unsolvable problem and only God could help us with it. Now, in this part of the story, I've noticed a couple of things. They speak about the disciples and about what's going on, but they also speak to our lives. The first thing that I notice here is we procrastinate. You notice in this story, the disciples just said it's getting late in the day. So Jesus had compassion on the crowds as they came and he ministered to them. And now it's getting late in the day. So my idea is, well, this has been going on all day. And now that it's getting late in the day, you stop and you think about the idea that, well, what are these people going to do for food? You know, I'm guessing that the disciples didn't have Uber Eats or Skip the Dishes to call, and there was no pizza or Domino's with pizza delivery. They were out in a remote area, we're told, and there was no way to bring food to them. But why did they wait till it was so late in the day? Because they procrastinate. See, often when we're faced with a problem we can't solve, we just keep putting it off. We delay. We pretend it's not there. Sometimes we just act like there's nothing there. See, procrastination only makes a problem worse in your life. Think about it this way. If one day you suddenly have, you know, just a little toothache. You say, it's not a big deal. It's just a little ache. It doesn't always hurt. It only hurts when I drink something cold, when I eat something hard. And you don't deal with it. You put it off. You procrastinate. And if you wait too long, you end up needing to have a root canal. Now, that's no fun. That's because you procrastinate. It's the same thing with our health. You know, have a little ailment, something's bothering you, know something's not right, but you ignore it, you put it off, it doesn't matter. And you end up making the problem worse, sometimes very much worse. So we have to learn not to procrastinate. So what problem have you been procrastinating over? What problem is there in your life, but you're pretending it's not there? What problem are you pretending is not in your body? What problem are you pretending is not in your marriage? What problem are you pretending is not in your finances? Procrastination will never help you. So we procrastinate. The second thing I see in the story is we pass the buck. The disciples said to Jesus, just send the people away. If you send them away, they're not our problem. Let's just pass off the responsibility. They can go to the villages and they can go somewhere and they can go somewhere and find some food. Let them go. Let them not be our problem. Let's just pass the buck. Passing the buck never solves your problem. It's still there. Third thing we see in the story is, we're told is do not worry. That would take more than a half a year's wages. Wow. When a problem comes, that's what we do. We tend to worry. We fret. We stew. We get anxious. We get stressed out. And now, I'm just imagining, this isn't in the Bible, I'm just imagining that it's Matthew that's probably figured out how much it's going to cost. Because, remember Matthew's the tax collector. He's the guy who's good with numbers. He's good with finances. He calculates things. He's probably looked over the crowd. He's probably already counted or estimated how many people are really there. And he's done the math and real quick, And the disciples are talking like, how are we going to do this? Like, what's the master saying? He says, man, it's going to cost over half a year's wages. And so they worry about it. Or I imagine Peter. I imagine that Peter's already got the tables out. He's already figured out where the lineups are going to go. He has no clue what the solution is, but he's already figured out what to do. And they're worrying about it. And then notice what Jesus told them. But you give them something to eat. And they look at themselves and they look at Jesus. They go, how are we going to figure out, how are we going to feed these people? Where are we going to get that kind of stuff? See, they procrastinated, they've passed the buck, and now they're worrying. Has God ever asked you to do something impossible? Why? Why would God do that? Because He wants to stretch your faith. Because He wants to help you grow. And so that reminds us of the first principle of getting ready for a miracle is we need to admit that we have a problem that seems impossible. You need to admit that you have a problem and only God could help you. As we look at the story, I want to look more in Mark chapter 6 at verse 38. It says this, how many loaves do you have? He asked, that's Jesus. Go and see. When they found out, they said 5 and 2 fish. John chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, give us another glimpse at this part of the story. Remember, this miracle is recorded in 4 Gospels. So looking at John, he says this, another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon's Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many? So John gives us another glimpse and he tells us there's a little boy with a little lunch. Now, for some reason, if you've heard me tell this story of somewhere in the past, I always kid here that the boy's mother must have been part Italian because she sent her boy out with a bag lunch with paninis and fish, But, the boy's mother wasn't Italian. I'm just making a joke. But for some reason, we're not told that this boy goes out and he's got a bag lunch. Now, is he the only person in that crowd who possibly has a bag lunch? We don't know that. I'm going to guess that somewhere somebody had something they had something in their pockets or something. But this little boy has a lunch. Now, it's not a great lunch. It's 5 small loaves and 2 fishes. Now, when you think of loaves, by the way, I don't want you to think of the loaves that you get when you go to the grocery store. You buy a loaf of sliced bread that's probably about that big. It's nothing like that. Maybe it's, you're a home home bread maker and you make your bread and you got these nice, beautiful loaves. It's nothing like that. What they mean by loaves would be something like a small bun, but not even, that's probably not even the right picture. You have to almost picture a little cake, like a tiny pancake, maybe a little thicker than a pancake, but just a little round cake probably that was, we're not sure exact size, but that's what they were. So five of those, two dried fishes, that's this boy's lunch. But he comes and he's willing to give it to Jesus. And that's our second principle. Give God what little you already have. See, God always starts with what you have. God starts with what I have. God starts with what we have. It may not be much, but learn to give it to God. It may seem insignificant to you. It's just a brown bag with a couple of little cakes of bread and some dried fish. It can't be very much. There's 5,000 men plus women and children. Maybe 20,000 people there. Maybe. What's this little lunch going to do? It's insignificant. But you may not understand all that it means, but give it to God. See, learn to give God what you have. It may not seem like much to you, but for him, it's all he needs. Give him every part of your life. Give him your reputation. Give him your heart and your soul. Give him your past and your present and your future, and especially your future. Give him whatever your five small loaves and two fishes are. Learn to give God what you have. Then I want you to notice a little detail that John tells us as well in verse 6. The Bible tells us this. He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Isn't that amazing? Jesus already had in mind what he was going to do. Jesus is already ahead of the problem. Jesus is already ahead of the situation. Jesus knew that the crowd was coming. Jesus knew that night was coming. Jesus knew that the disciples didn't have a clue. But he tells them, go ahead, you feed them. And then John says he did this to test us. Jesus already knew. Jesus is ahead of you. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he knows what's coming down the road for you. He knows what your life is going to face even before you know there's anything there. Jesus knows what's around the curve before you even know a curve is coming. Jesus knows what is ahead of you, and he's already figured it out. See, Jesus saw the need before the disciples knew there was going to be one, and Jesus had a plan. God always has the answer even before you know there's a problem. Admit that you have an unsolvable problem, and then give God what little you have. The story continues in Mark 6:41, where it says, taking the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people. He also divided the two fish among them. And so the third principle we have here is we have to put it all in the hands of Jesus. That's what the little boy seems to have done. He seems to have willingly given up his lunch to the disciples to give to Jesus. See, when you have no idea what to do, you need to give it to Jesus. When you don't understand it, you need to give it to Jesus. When you're confused and overwhelmed, you need to give it to Jesus. I mean, it sounds so automatic, doesn't it? It sounds like it's such the right answer. We know that in our head, but when we're caught up in the turmoil of life, when we're caught up in the problems of life, when we're caught up in a situation that we don't understand, we sometimes get flabbergasted. And we have to remember to give it to Jesus. See, so many times Jesus ends up being our last resort, not our first resort. We turn to people. We turn to self-help books. We go to sources. We go to Google. Maybe Google will solve my problem. Our first reaction needs to be, give it to Jesus. It's very similar to the prayer theme we have here at Highway, which is pray first. Prayer is our first resort, not last. It's not pray when everything else fails. It's pray first. And it's the same thing in our lives. We need to learn to give it to Jesus first. Story goes on in verse 42. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. And here's the part in the story that I think I really love today. It's expect God to do the unexpected. One of the problems with this story is that the disciples seem to have forgotten who they were standing with. The disciples seem to have missed the point that they were standing with Jesus. When Jesus said, you feed them, they looked at all the problems instead of understanding that the solution to their problem was standing right there in front of them. They failed to recognize that they were standing in the presence of a miracle because Jesus is the miracle. They forgot that it's this same Jesus that turned water into wine. That it's this same Jesus who made the blind man see. This same Jesus told the lame man to get up and walk away. This same Jesus freed the man from demons. It's the same Jesus who healed the woman with the issue of blood. This is the same Jesus who raised the dead girl from her bed. This is the same Jesus who spoke to the wind and the waves, peace, be still. And this same Jesus, this miracle Jesus, is who is standing in front of them, and yet they forgot. They still lack the expectation of the unexpected. What about you? Do you have room in your faith for the unexpected? Is there space in your heart and mind to allow God to be God? Now, just in case you're watching and listening and you're saying, oh, Pastor, I saw this coming a mile away. I mean, come on. Everybody knows that Jesus is going to feed that crowd. I mean, you might be reading the story for the first time and still expecting that. Okay, that's good. You may have expected that. And I'd believe you if you said that, but you probably still didn't expect the unexpected. Here's the unexpected. Not only did Jesus take a little boy's lunch of 5 small cakes of bread and 2 dried fish and multiply it to feed a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children, maybe 15, 20,000 people. Not only does God do this wonderful miracle, but then he does the unexpected. I mean, the miracle is the unexpected, don't get me wrong. But there's even another unexpected over the unexpected. There are 12 basketfuls of leftovers. It's not that the people ate skimpily. We're told they ate till they were satisfied. In other words, they ate till they were full. And there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers. That is Jesus' exclamation mark on his miracle. That's Jesus saying, you might expect the miracle, but here is the unexpected. There are 12 basketfuls of food left over. God is the God of the unexpected. See, if you're willing to step out during our Daring Faith campaign series, if you're willing to trust God, you need to expect the unexpected. We've learned some very important principles today from this miracle of the feeding of 5,000, things that would help us to get ready for the miracle that God wants to do in our lives. Admit you have an unsolvable problem. Then give God what little you already have. Put it all in the hands of Jesus and then expect God to do the unexpected. Have an atmosphere of believing, trusting, and expecting God to do what nobody else could think is possible. That's why in a couple of weeks we're embarking on this Daring Faith campaign series. And I want you to jump in and I want you to get the most that you can out of our Daring Faith campaign series. I'm going to give you three things that you need to do. There are three simple things, but you're going to have to dedicate yourself to it. You're going to have to decide right here, right now, that you're going to trust God and you're going to jump in and you're going to do it. And they're simple, but you need to be dedicated to them. And the first is this, that starting October the 17th, 2 weeks from now, you need to be part of all six Sunday teachings. So Daring Faith campaign will start with each of the Sundays will kick off a theme for the week. And so you'll catch it in our Sunday teaching here. You can join us on site. You're more than welcome. You can join us online if that's easier for you right now. All the Sunday teachings will also be archived on our YouTube channel. So if by chance you miss one, you can go there and watch it and be on track with us. And if it's the week of that teaching, the current Sunday teaching is always posted at the bottom of our website every week. There'll be a study guide that you could use. In the study guide, there will be fill in the blanks that coincide with our Sunday teaching. So you're going to want to get the book and use it and fill in the blanks as you follow along with us in our Sunday morning teaching. So that's six Sunday morning teachings beginning October the 17th. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to join a six-week small group. So if you're in a group, your group is doing it. All of our small groups are doing the Daring Faith campaign series during these 6 weeks. So if you're already in a group, you're in. Just got your get yourself a study guide to go along with it. If you've never been in a small group, this is a wonderful opportunity. I tell you this so many times to test drive a small group. Join a group, try it for 6 weeks. You're going to see after 6 weeks you can't live without it. You're gonna want to stay part of it. And so you could do that. Our small groups this season for this Daring Faith campaign, we're tweaking them a little bit. We're changing them. There is no video segment that goes with your small group material this year. We're purposely doing that on Sunday morning. And so you need to lock in with our Sunday teaching. That will be the basis, the foundation of your small group discussion and small group time as you dig deeper into the truths that we're going to share with you on Sunday morning. So you're going to want to do that. So if you're wanting to know how to sign up for a small group, just go to our webpage, highwaygospel.ca, and scroll down a little bit to the Daring Faith area, and there's a button that'll take you to a page, and at that page, you can look for and join and ask questions at a small group or even just email the church and we will help you or call us or text us, whatever it is, reach out to us. We will help you get into a small group. Remember, I've told you this before, small groups are a place where you can connect and grow. It's a place where we're stronger together. So that's the second thing. The third thing is this. In your study guide, I want you to read the daily devotionals that are there. Read the daily devotionals. There are 40 daily devotionals, so one a day for 40 days, beginning October the 17th. And so if you do that and you dig in, and I think that you will get more out of the campaign series that way, and you could choose to be a part of this with us. You can get your book starting now. If you're online with us, just reach out to us, contact us. We'll find a way, if you're local, that we could deliver one to you. And if we can't deliver it, we'll mail one to you. So give us time. You want to have the book in your hand for October the 17th. We are asking for a suggested donation of $10 for the study guides. And as you saw earlier, if you can help us with that, great. If you can't help us with that, that's great. We want you to have a study guide, but if you take one, please, please, please jump in full force with us on this Daring Faith campaign series. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today that you are preparing our hearts to get ready for a miracle. That you are the God of the unexpected. Lord, we just ask today that you would help us, that you would open our hearts to receive from you, that you'd open our minds to believe you and our ears to hear you. Speak to us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you've been watching this morning, as we've talked about Jesus and the miracles and what God has and wants for your life, and you're sitting there and you're saying, you know what? I want to know this God. I want to know more about this Jesus. You're sitting there listening and you're saying, I want to have a relationship with God like that. Then I want you to reach out to us. Pick up your phone. Text me the word love to 416-267-1189. There'll be a few prompts, your name and contact info. We want to get back in touch with you. So please follow those prompts. And we want to help you as you begin a relationship with Jesus, as you get to know God through Jesus. And the Daring Faith campaign will be a great place for you to start. So we want to help you on that journey towards a relationship with God. So reach out and text us the word love, and we would greatly appreciate that.